Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Well, you guys ready to get into God's Word tonight? Amen. All right. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go before the Lord in prayer one more time, and let's ask the Holy Spirit tonight to be our teacher, because I need His help. Amen. And so do you. Father, we thank You for tonight, Lord. We ask that You would speak to us, Lord, as we come before You and acknowledge that we are here to hear from You, from Your Word, from Your Spirit, Lord. Speak to each and every one of us, Lord. We pray for divine revelation in each and every one of our lives tonight as we dig into Your Word, as we hear Your will for our lives. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to be here, Lord. We ask that You would continue to bless this house, bless each and every one of us in this place as we seek further into Your Word and into Your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we all together said, Amen. If you've got your Bibles, go with me to Luke in the 8th chapter and Matthew in the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 16. Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, Luke chapter 8. We're going to start in Luke chapter 8. One more time. Luke chapter 8. Matthew chapter 16, just in case you were wondering, where are we going? You know, a couple of months ago, I was having a conversation with my mom. I love having a conversation with Pastor Deborah. Tomorrow is her birthday, just in case you didn't know that. She skipped town, probably to avoid the embarrassment of being called out on it. But if you're watching, Mom, we love you. Happy birthday. But I love, one of the things I really love is having conversations with my mom, because if you know Pastor Deborah, I mean, instantly she can just go deep. Like, just, there's no like small talk to deep. It's just like, boom, like, let's just jump off the deep end. And so we were having all these deep conversations. I remember talking about the voice of God and the leading of God. And she was asking me about things in my life. And I just said, you know, Mom, I just don't feel like right now in this season that God is speaking to me much. And she said, I feel like, I don't know, maybe he's just on the silent treatment. I can't quite figure out what's going on, but I want to hear the voice of God, but I'm not hearing it. And I just remember the frustration of that. I remember, you know, just the wondering about what's going on, what am I doing, this and that, and this and that. And I remember going to Israel just a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things I really wanted to do, one of my big desires was to go to Israel and just to really just hear the voice of God. And I had this image in my head that, you know, I'd get to sit on the Mount of Beatitudes and just like soak it in, or, you know, go sit somewhere and, you know, where David wrote Psalms, or, you know, in the streets of Jerusalem. And true to form, there were some spots and there were some times. And I remember I was reading this book, as a matter of fact, about hearing from God, because I wanted to hear from God. And I was in Jerusalem reading this book about hearing from God. And I just remember God began to speak to me. And the premise was that God is speaking, but are we listening? And you see, I remember this a long time ago, and I think I have it here. I remember this a long time ago. I read this book, and it's such a great book. It was so profound to me in my development of my relationship with God by a man by the name of A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. And that man is just a transformational person. Whenever you read anything about him, you just are challenged and quickened to do something better for God. Now, he wrote in this book, The Pursuit of God, he says this. He says, I believe that much of our religious unbelief is due to a wrong conception and a wrong feeling for the scriptures of truth. A silent God suddenly began to speak in a book, and when that book was finished, he lapsed back into silence again forever. And now we read a book as the record of what God said when he was, for a brief time, in a speaking mood. With notions like that in our heads, how can we believe? The facts are that God is not silent. He has never been silent. It is the nature of God to speak. The second person of the Holy Trinity is called the Word. The Bible is the inevitable outcome of God's continuous speech. It is the infallible declaration of His mind for us to put into our familiar human words. And as I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about that season of my time of, like, God, I want to hear from you, God. Why are you not speaking to me, God? Why do I hear? I mean, one of the things that, you know, in the church world that we're around a lot of, I'm around a lot of church people. You understand what I say? Understand what I mean when I say church people? Like, you know, I get to hang out with people around the world, but oftentimes my time is spent consumed mostly with people within the church realm. And one of the most frustrating things for me personally in the course of my life has been talking to people who have continuous, like, at length conversations with God. Have you ever been around somebody that does that? Like, you know, I was talking with God the other day, and in the middle of our conversation, they go on talking about this conversation, and I'm just like, I don't have those. Like, he might impress something in my spirit, or I might open up my word and I see it and think, God, you spoke to me, but it's like, I'm not having this audible conversation with God like you. What am I missing out on? And there's just this continual, perpetual frustration in my life about hearing from God and receiving more so than anything the revelation, which is the spoken or God's desire or God's will for my own life. And what, God, what is your revelation for me and to me so that I can live and operate my life in your will? And I think if we're honest, if we look at each other, if we look deep down into our soul, and you know, many of us who are just walking through this path that we call life, this journey that we call life, oftentimes we say, I feel like I just need God to speak to me. I feel like I've been asking a lot of questions, why God, or what God, or how God, or who God, or when God, or whatever it might be. And God, when are you going to speak to me? I hear you that you speak to the pastor, and I see that you speak to that leader, and I see that you speak to that guy on TV, and it seems like so often you're speaking to everybody, but I just don't seem at some point that you're speaking to me. And we go through this period or these seasons of silence, of wondering and questioning, and what's this all about? And God, when are you going to speak to me? When am I going to hear from you? And as I was thinking about this, and as I've been pondering this section of Scripture for a great amount of time, I wanted to take you to Luke. I said Luke the 8th chapter. I lied. Luke the 9th chapter. I'm like, it ain't in Luke the 8th chapter. Praise the Lord. That's the scary thing when you do that. In Luke in the 9th chapter, I just wanted to read to you something. It's a familiar section of Scripture that we all know. Well, we may not all know. You may not know this, but it's familiar to us here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. Why? Because what Jesus says in Matthew's account of the gospel, or what Jesus says, is what we modeled and fashioned this church out of, the rock. And Jesus responds to Peter a statement. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's where, and if you ever wonder why, we are the Rock Church. It's based on that scripture. And so it's a familiar scripture with us in the church. And we read about this in Matthew's account of his gospel in the 16th chapter. It's Mark in the 8th chapter, I believe. And then it's Luke in the 9th chapter. We read these all three of these different accounts. And today I wanted to just point something out. As I was studying this and I was thinking about this in Israel, we got a wonderful opportunity to hang out for a minute at Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus spoke these words. And just to understand and just to think about what he was saying. And so here in Luke's gospel and Luke's account of what happened here in the 9th chapter, verse number 18, it says it happened that Jesus was alone praying, and he was in northern Israel in Caesarea Philippi, and it says he was alone praying that his disciples came and they joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowds say I am? And the reason I went to Luke, and rather than just focusing solely on what Matthew says on the 16th chapter, I wanted to point out, and we'll end up in Matthew in the same exact story, is I wanted to point out what Luke felt impressed to write upon this specific question. He asked this specific question to his disciples. He said, who do the crowds say that I am? And the other gospels say, who do the people say that I am? And they respond back, and the disciples, they confer among themselves, and they say, well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist, some of them say that you're Elijah, and others say that you're one of the old prophets that have risen again. And then Jesus comes back and he asks this question to his disciples. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God, or the Messiah, the chosen, or the anointed one of God. And in Matthew, we'll read about that in just a moment, Jesus' response to that. But so often what we do is in this verse, and when I've taught it, when I've heard it taught before, we focus on what Jesus said to Peter right after that, and the theological masterpiece that Jesus dropped upon building his church on the revelation. But it's exactly this. I thought about it. It was so interesting that Jesus asked two questions. And if you like Law and Order or any of those kind of movies that make you think, or TV shows that make you think about legal systems, I love law. One of my favorite things in university was business law, just made me think about things. And there's questions that you can ask and there's questions that you cannot ask. And one of the questions that you're not allowed to ask in a courtroom is a leading question, a question in which you are leading the witness to a certain particular place. You cannot lead them somewhere. It has to be organic. You can't try to make it. And so Jesus is asking a leading question to his disciples. And he says, guys, who does everybody say that I am? Who do the crowds around say that I am? And I find it so interesting. I find it so interesting as I read the commentaries, as I read what Matthew Henry had to write about these things. You know, it says that Jesus inquiring about his reputation amongst the people, but I believe wholly, as we see throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, that Jesus has the ability to discern the hearts of men, that Jesus was not inquiring about his reputation around him, because Jesus knew full well what his reputation was. And on top of that, Jesus didn't come for a reputation. Jesus came for revelation. Yes. And so he was asking the disciples, he said, who do the crowds say that I am? And they came up with great answers. I mean, the crowds could only answer for what they saw. This man, I mean, did you see what this guy did? I mean, he broke bread and he made it multiply. Jesus, he went to that city and he was healing everybody and he walked on water and he told us to cast our nets on one side of the boat, and we did, and all this. So, and people are saying, man, I don't know what to make of this guy. He must be like Elijah. You know what? He must be that guy, John the Baptist in the wilderness. He must be one of the prophets of old, reincarnate, to come back and to tell us and to teach us the ways of God. All great and wonderful answers, but all wrong when it comes to the revelation of God. And you see, we look at this and we think, well, Jesus was concerned about his reputation with the people, but really, Jesus was not concerned about his reputation. He was concerned about his revelation. And see, Jesus didn't come for a good reputation among men. Why? Because if Jesus came for a good reputation among men, when you read what Jesus writes in John the 6th and 7th chapter, you can see that there was not a good reputation among men. Why? Because everybody left him. But Jesus was concerned about the revelation. So he asks them this amazing question, this insightful question, this leading question. Who does everybody say that I am? You know, so often in life we desire to hear from God and we desire to see this revelation from God and we desire to say, God, speak to us. God, tell us. God, lead us. God, direct us. God, guide us. And there are crowds in our lives that are speaking continually. Wherever you go, in whatever circle of influence you live in, wherever you go, wherever you are, there is a crowd in your life speaking influence into you. You go to your job, there's a crowd of people that are working and they have a consensus, they have an idea, they speak of what they see. You turn on the television and there are crowds of people that are influencing the world, speaking to what they see, speaking to what they understand. There are crowds of people within culture, within society, within the movies, within whatever it might be. You see, we have all around us crowds of people influencing us in the directions of our lives, and we desire for God to lead us in our lives. And so Jesus says, who are the crowds and what are they saying? And then he asks this divine, this insightful question to his disciples, and he says, who do you say that I am? Think about that for a moment. The crowds often speak one thing. The crowds often lead us to something. I mean, think about it like now in our day and age, in this society, as our world, and we're 2 days away from the most pivotal election that we've seen in this generation. I mean, a massive, massive, massive consequence. And you've seen the tension within our own country in this election. We can see the influence of the crowds. The crowds shouting this, and the crowds shouting that, and the people saying this, and the people saying that, and the people pushing their opinions or their agendas or their ideals on us, that we might be influenced by them, that we might be, listen to this, a part of the crowd. But you see, Jesus asked this question to his disciples, and he says, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Because it's not about my reputation that I'm interested. I don't care what the crowds think about me, but what I do care is, who do you say that I am? And I love the disciple Peter. he responds, and this is the man Peter that walked on water for a minute. This is the man Peter that jumped out of the boat when he found out that it was Jesus on the shore. This is the man Peter that went to grab a sword to protect his Lord and Savior from betrayal. This is the man Peter who I just believe so many of us can relate to. Peter opens up and he says, "You are the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior sent to save us." And Jesus blesses Peter, and Jesus says, "Peter, man, what a good job. What a good job, Peter, that you had that." In Matthew, in his 16th, I had you turn there. We'll finish now in Matthew. Matthew in the 16th chapter, Jesus says it like this. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah." Why? Because flesh and blood, think about it like this. The crowd didn't tell you this. The circles of influence on the outside of the kingdom didn't reveal this to you. You weren't influenced by what people said. You didn't have to stop and think about, well, is the general consensus this? Or is the general populace this? Or, you didn't do that. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Why? Because the crowd did not influence you. What you said right now was not revealed to you by men, but revealed to you by my Father who is in heaven. Yeah. Divine revelation. You see, Jesus was leading them to a place of understanding that we are not to listen to the advice, not to listen to the influence, not to listen to the direction and the sway of the crowds, but rather to listen to the direction of God and His divine influence to us, because we will either listen to one or the other. If we do not make a decision in our lives to listen to what God's revelation is for us, guess what will happen? We will hear the voice of the crowds in our lives. And let me tell you something. You may not think you have a crowd speaking to you, but you've got crowds on crowds on crowds speaking into your life right now the way you ought to be living. And we can either choose to live according to the voice of the crowds, or we can choose to live according to the voice of God. Who will you listen to? Who will you listen to? And so Jesus admonishes Peter, and he says, "Good job, Peter," because the crowds are speaking loudly and they only speak what they know. But you see, it's imperative for you and I to understand this is probably one of the most, if not the most important question Jesus asks his followers. I believe some form of this question is asked every believer or every person as they face judgment at the end of their life. Who do you say I am? And as we face judgment at the end of our life, as we stand before God Almighty by ourselves, no crowds around us, we all say with mentality saying, well, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God. I went to church that one time and I heard what the pastor was saying, and I believe that you're Jesus. But Jesus says, "What did you do with that revelation I gave you?" Influence of crowds. The influence of crowds. You see, crowds are fickle. Crowds will come and crowds will go, and crowds will continually change their opinion. But the Word of God, Jesus says, is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but by no means shall my words pass away." God is speaking. God is speaking revelation into your life. The question is, are we listening to the voice of God, or are we listening to the voice of the crowds in our life? And in my own story, in my own circumstance, when I was there, I can tell you, looking back now, wondering, "God, why are you giving me the silent treatment?" To understand this wholeheartedly, that God was not giving me the silent treatment, but rather I was listening to the overwhelmingly loud voice of the crowds around me, the crowds of my thoughts, the crowds of my emotions, the crowds of my convictions, whatever it might be, and not listening to the voice of God. You see, God wants each and every one of us to be on His inner circle. What's so interesting about this section of Scripture is that there's really two characters in this question and in this passage of Scriptures. There are the crowds, the people, the populace, the general consensus, the democracy of people, if you will, the voice of the people. And then there's the voice of God, or the inner circle. And Jesus asks, "What does everybody say?" Well, the general consensus is you're something great, but we don't know what. You might be John the Baptist. You might be a prophet. You might be Elijah. They don't know. And there's the crowds. But then Jesus points to his core. his inner circle, his disciples, the people that were close enough to hear him breathe, the people that were close enough to hear him pray to God, the people that were close enough to see his facial reactions when the Pharisees would continually buffet him and come against him and challenge him and how he would respond. They were close enough to see how he would respond. They were close enough to see and to understand his thought process and the way in which he lived and the way in which he loved and the way in which he operated in his life. This was his inner group of people, his core group of disciples. And so he says, there are two people on earth, the crowds and the core. Who will you be a part of? Will you be a part of the crowds who speak what they see, or will you be a part of the core who speak what God sees? That's God's desire for each and every one of us. As God is speaking, are we listening? Because if we're a part of the crowd, guess whose voice we're listening to? The crowd. But if we're becoming a part of the core of God, then guess what? Like Peter, Jesus said, says, blessed are you, Peter. Good job. Why? Because you have positioned yourself in a place where you are no longer listening to the voice of the crowd. You are now in the core of my being, listening to the voice of the very Father in heaven who guides the words that I myself speak. Peter, you're on the inside, and that's God's desire for you. That's God's desire for me, to be a part of his core group of people. You're not designed by God to be a part of the crowd on the periphery, on the outskirts, on the fray, from the outside looking in. There is an open invitation to every human being on earth. Jesus said, come to me, all who are heavy laden. Come to me, all. Why? Because I have an open invitation for you to not be on the outskirts of the crowds, but to be on the inside core of my being, to live, to breathe, and to have your being within my words, within my voice, within your understanding of my will for your life. God is speaking. Church, the question is, are we listening? Dang. God is speaking, but are we listening? God is speaking, but are you listening? And so often we allowed the voice of the crowds around us, but God says, listen, I don't want you to hear what is good. I want you to hear what is revelation. I want you to hear what is mine. I want you to get closer. I want you to get deeper. I want you to go from the outside to the inside. I want you to be a part of my close-knit circle. That's why the Bible talks about communion with Jesus Christ. What is communion? Constant communication, a constant covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a distant relationship of somebody afar off, but rather a close and intimate relationship. John talks about in his gospel that John was there on the Last Supper. Think about how close they were, that John laid his head against the chest of Jesus. He had his head on the shoulders of Jesus when Jesus was sharing his Last Supper. This is how close Jesus' disciples were, who heard the voice of God. And now this is the invitation to you, this is the invitation to me, that we must come closer to hear the voice of God. God is speaking, but the question is, are you listening? God is speaking, but are you listening? So what do I do to get into this core of God? What do I do to go from being a member of the crowd to a member of the core? What do I do to get closer to God? And the question remains, what must I do to do this? Because this is the desire of my life, is to know God's revelation for me. It's so simple, it's so simple, it's so simple that we miss it. It's so simple that we overlook it. It's so simple that we want three easy steps to do this. The question is, how do I become part of the core where I can hear the voice of God and no longer hear the voice of the crowds? It's so simple. Press in. Press into Jesus. Press in. Now the imagery here is not draw closer or just come on in, and you know, the invitation's there, open the door. The image there is press in. You see, James is talking about in the fourth chapter of the book of James, the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. James is talking about the principles of godliness, and he's talking about the condition of humanity. He's talking about our outward works towards God, and he says, you think that everything's good, but you don't understand that God yearns for you jealously. He wants you to be a part of his inner circle so much to the point that he's jealous over you. And then he goes on and he says in James, the fourth chapter, he says, if you would just draw near to God, he'd draw near to you. You see, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? God, are you speaking to me? And God just says, I wish you'd just take a minute and come closer. I wish that you'd just take some time out of your busy schedule. I wish you'd turn off the TV. I wish you'd take some time and turn off the radio in your car and just get a little bit closer to me. Because if you would just take the effort, make the effort to draw close to me, if you would just press in, Then I would draw near to you, he says in James, the fourth chapter. You see, pressing in, it takes hard work, it takes effort, it's going to take work on our part. The invitation is there for any person on earth to become close to God, to hear the revelation of God. God is speaking, but are we listening? And in order for us to hear the voice of God, we must make a decision to press in and away from the crowds. You see, Jesus, wherever he went, recognized the people that pressed into him. He recognized the people that pressed into him. There was a short man, Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. And what did Zacchaeus do? He couldn't see Jesus and he wanted to see Jesus. Zacchaeus pressed in. He climbed a tree. Right? Jesus recognizes. Peter jumped out of the boat with his jacket on in John the 21st chapter. He pressed in. There's this beautiful story in the Gospels and in Luke, in the 8th chapter, Luke accounts us the story of this woman, and she was hemorrhaging blood. She couldn't stop bleeding. She'd spent all of her money, all of her resources, all of her finances trying to be cured by the hands of doctors, but she was left worse off and continually getting worse. And then there she saw and heard about this man, Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Luke, the 8th chapter, the second part of, I believe it's verse number 42, it says, but as Jesus went, the multitudes thronged him. Now think about this contextually for a moment. Jesus was surrounded by people. I mean, like, if you've ever been on like a public transportation or something like that where it gets jammed in, the shuttle at the airport, the subway in New York, whatever it might be, people were rubbing all over Jesus, rubbing up against Jesus, just pressing and thronging him, trying to touch him, shouting out at him. And yet there's this woman who sees Jesus and she realizes in her heart, if I could just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be healed by that. And so it says that she pressed in, she went, and she got close enough to touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are scratching their head and they're saying, Jesus, what are you talking about? Who touched me? There's people all over you touching me. And he says it like this. He says, who touched me? Because there was, I felt it. And Jesus recognized, he saw her faith. And his response to this woman wasn't, hey, I'm so glad that you touched me. It was my hymn. You found the secret formula. If you could just touch the little tassel of my garment, then you know you'd be healed. It wasn't that. Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. See, what was it? It was a decision on her part to say, I'm going to press in. I'm going to push against the resistance of crowds. Everybody's thronging Jesus. Everybody's touching Jesus. Everybody's shouting out Jesus. But she said, I'm going to push against everything. I'm going to fight my way to the front. I was a part of the crowd, but I'm going to fight my way through the crowd, to the front of the crowd, to the close parts of Jesus. And no matter what I do, I'm going to keep pushing, and I'm going to keep pushing, and I'm going to keep struggling, and I'm going to keep striving, and I'm going to keep going, until finally she got close enough in the streets of the city to touch the tassel of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? It wasn't about the touching. It was about the action of saying, I'm going to press in. I'm going to leave behind what was going on, and I'm going to press in. I'm going to take the effort it's going to take to get close to God. Why? Because church, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? You see, the crowds of the world are speaking. They're continually leading us and guiding us into directions in which they think we should go. God is speaking. Are you listening? Are you pressing in? Are you fighting to hear the voice of God? Because let me tell you something. If we don't press in, guess what? We think God's going to have this big booming voice from the sky. Hey! But the Word of God doesn't speak like that to us. There's a story in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. This man by the name of Elijah has one of the greatest victories a man could have. I mean, literally, dude called fire down from heaven. And he consumed an altar. And then he went and killed 400 false prophets. And then he outran a chariot. I mean, talk about greatest victory, right? But now he's in this low point because he got a threat for his life, and now he's hiding in a cave. The Spirit of God, or God impressed upon him, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to give you divine revelation, Elijah. So in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, Elijah's there in a cave, and the Bible says, in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, it says that a great fire on the mountain arose, and Elijah saw, but God was not in this great fire. And then there was a great earthquake and a great wind, and God was not in these things. And then it says a still small voice came. A whisper. A subtle voice. Not loud and booming with the clouds and the galaxies, but a whisper. Elijah. Elijah. The Bible says in Kings, when he records that, it says Elijah heard that and he recognized that and he covered his face and he went out because he knew that God was there. You see, it's going to take an effort to press in, to hear the voice of God. God is speaking to you. God's divine revelation is for you. God does not want you to walk in the life. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself said he came to be a light to the world. Paul the Apostle says in the book of Acts, as he's talking to a bunch of Greeks, he says, listen, God does not want you walking around, groping in the darkness, hoping and wondering that you might find. He says, Jesus Christ came to turn on the light in your life. But it's going to take an effort for you and I to draw close, to press in, to press against the crowds, to shut out the voices of things that are going around us. Have you ever been in a crowd? Have you ever been in a stadium? A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, we went to a church member's car race. They're Tony and Diane Forfa. They race. Tony races like stock cars. If you've ever been to a stock car race, it's loud. And then on top of that, the crowd is loud. And if you've ever been in a loud crowd before and you want to have a conversation with somebody, what do you have to do? You got to press in. You got to get close to the point where you almost have to sometimes speak directly into that person's ear. Why? To shut out all the other noises of the crowd and to focus solely on the voice of that conversation. It's exactly the same. God is speaking, but will you and I draw near? Will we press in? Will we draw closer to God by making that effort, by taking that time to say, you know what? There are things in my life that are important, but you know what? I'm gonna focus. I'm gonna press in. I'm gonna go after God like I've never gone before. Why? Because God is speaking. Are we listening? Is the question. God is speaking. Are we listening? You see, we've got to learn how to quiet the voices of the crowds around us and press in to the voice of God. Because church, I believe for you that God does not want to speak to you through solely through the person on the stage. So often we think, well, God is speaking through the pastor. God is speaking through the Pope. God is speaking through the author. No, God, through his Holy Spirit on the inside of you, wants to speak to you, his revelation for you. And it's not just the voice of the pastor that God is using to speak to you. It's not just the voice of the Pope or the voice of that author or whatever it might be. God wants to speak to you, but the question is, are you listening? How do we get into that close circle, that tight-knit circle, that core group of who people, the people who hear from the voice of God? Simply put, the Bible shows us from Genesis to Revelation, the people that heard God were the people that pursued God, that pressed into God. God spoke to Abraham and Abraham chased him. All the way through Revelation, God spoke to John in the last book of the Bible. John chased him. God spoke to Paul and Paul chased him. God spoke to Peter and Peter chased him. God spoke to Matthew and Matthew chased him. God spoke to Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus chased him. God spoke to Samuel and Samuel said, here I am, and he chased him. God spoke to Josiah and Josiah chased him. You see, when God speaks and when we put ourselves in the position by drawing to God, he will speak revelation into your life. You don't have to live in the dark. We don't have to wonder, is God speaking? God is speaking. Are we listening? God is speaking. Are we listening? Can we shut out the voice of the crowds by pressing into God? Church, I just believe that this is a season that we're coming into in America, that we're coming into around this world, that more than ever now, more than ever, it is more important, more imperative that you and I, as believers of Jesus Christ, hear the voice of God and the leading of God for our lives. Why? Because as we face this new era, this new darkness that comes upon this world, as you can see, this world is going downhill quickly, that we are going to need to rely daily upon the voice and the revelation of God for our lives in order to endure, in order to make it, in order to run the race and finish the faith. Like Paul the Apostle says, God is speaking. Are you listening? My encouragement to you today is press into God. Press into God. Press in to the things of God. Shut out the voice of the crowds. How? Leaning in, pushing through what's going on in your life to get some time with God. Make it a priority. Make it a precedence. Here, I'll just share with you quickly today, and I'm going to leave it. I'm done on this. I told you I didn't have a lot. is this. Simply, here's what I do. If you go in my car 99.9% of the time, what you're going to hear in my car is worship. And I don't like to use that word worship because we constitute worship with slow music and praise with fast. Like, I love Toby Mac and all those guys and Newsboys, and that's great. And the pop music and the beats and all that, that's great and that's fun. I don't like that. I like worship. Why? Because the slow, the tender, the anointed songs that speak, that bring a presence of God, continually bring my heart to a place of openness that I can cry out to God when I'm in my car. God, I'm hearing and I'm worshiping, I'm singing along. My heart is soft, my heart is ready, my heart is palpable for you to speak to me. I'm preparing myself by pressing in my life. What do? I take some time in the morning to get away from the family, to sit down and read the Bible. You don't have to read a whole book of the Bible to hear from God. It's not about quantity, it's about quality in the eyes of God. To take some time, and then on top of that, to reflect on what God has said, to write it down somewhere in your life, to write it down somewhere in your Bible or in a journal. But position yourself by pressing in to the things of God, to get to that inner circle of God's being, so that He would speak softly and still to your voice, because God is speaking. Church, are you listening? He wants divine revelation for you. He wants divine revelation for me. And it should not be that we go through the course of our life asking, when is God going to speak to me? Because He is saying, I'm speaking, I'm speaking, I'm speaking, I'm speaking. Oh, I wish you'd stop listening to the crowd and press in and just start listening to me, because I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll take you to the places that I have planned for you. God is speaking. Are you listening? Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we just ask that you speak to us as you continually do. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find ourselves in tune with your voice, God, in tune with your impressions, in tune with your Holy Spirit, as you speak to us through your word, as you speak to us through your spirit, as you speak to us through your divine creation. Lord, I pray that every day we would look up and we would see an opportunity to hear from your voice. Lord, and I pray that we press in, God, as we press in to hear that still small voice in our life. God, I just ask that you would reward us with your voice. Lord, reward us with your direction. As we reach out to find you, I thank you that your word is full of promises, that you would continue and you would meet us on that journey to find us. Lord, we give you that praise and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.